Good afternoon. We're going to get started with our meeting, regular board meeting of Civic San Diego for October 23rd. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Vasquez, Vice Chair Shaw, Treasurer Kilkenny, Secretary Robinson, Directors Jenkins, Rath, and Russell are present. Director Geisler is expected, and Director Avila is excused.
Just quick announcement before we continue. There is some extra seating in our Coronado room, and we also have a room in the third floor in case there's somebody needs to be here, and there's streaming into that room also. So, all right. Item number two, non-agenda public comment.
There are none.
Disclosures, ex parte communications.
I too got a call. I got two calls, actually.
Union and the applicant on item eight.
And I received a phone call from the Carpenters Union.
All right, so noted, thank you. Item number four, potential agenda items. All right, we have no corporation report today. So we'll move on to consent agenda.
Move approval.
Motion to move that forward.
Second.
Who is the bill? Director Kilkenny seconded. Please vote.
The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Item number seven, receive and accept the fiscal year 2019 audited financial statements of Civic San Diego. Well, that's in consent also. Oh. All right. Sorry about that. So moving on to item number eight. We have Pinnacle Pacific Heights, Mr. Alexander.
Mr. Chairman, if I could say one thing real quick. I am going to have to depart today's meeting at 2:40. So if there is a vote before 2:40, I'm happy to vote. And if not, then it'll carry on without me.
And Mr. Chair, do you wish me to make my comments now or after the staff report?
Let's do it now.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Chair. Just to, obviously, the committee has heard this item. There's been two letters submitted related to this item that raise some legal issues. And so just to put it in context, if the board is okay with it, I was going to cover three quick points. One is there's been questions about your legal authority to even consider this project and other pipeline projects, and we've talked repeatedly about how the city has set up the process for you to continue to hear these pipeline projects. But just to be clear, the city adopted an ordinance, it's 21082, that specifies that while in the future Civic San Diego will not be issuing development permits and considering design review as you're doing today, for projects that are in the pipeline, that is, they were completed applications before the changes that the city is making became effective, that the Civic is still obligated to hear those. And the specific language in that ordinance that continues your authority under the operating agreement and the agency agreement to do that. And the city has advised that we're obligated to do this. That's been confirmed in various letters to the mayor's office. And this project is specifically one of those listed pipeline projects. So consistent with these legal requirements, it's the board's obligation to continue hearing this project. Now, this particular project is before you specifically at the board level for design review only. In this situation, the code, the municipal code, divides the way this type of project is considered into two parts. One is design review, and the other part is issuance of the development permit. This board doesn't issue the development permit. That function is done by the Civic president under certain rules that apply to that function. So what's before you today is only design review. And we've talked on previous occasions, and I've advised the board on multiple occasions about what design review entails, but it's specifically designed, the multiple courts have said it's designed to protect the aesthetic quality of the community by focusing on design. And design, focuses on exterior building design, the form and detail of the structure, where the structure is sited on a particular property, issues of what kind of paint color or texture the building has, what the landscaping looks like, and related aesthetic issues. Obviously, how the building fits into the community nearby can be considered, because that's a fundamental part of design. But it's not, design review doesn't focus on the particular use in question or the particular user that is applying for the design review. And then the third issue, just cover real briefly, there's been multiple comments and letters submitted related to the CEQA process. And there was an additional letter submitted today from the law firm of Lizzo Drury. That's before you. A couple issues on the CEQA process. One, as I indicated, the board's role is design review. So the CEQA process is actually performed when the permit is issued. And as we've talked about before, that's a function of the president's decision-making process. So all the information that's been provided is highly relevant to that and should be and will be considered by the president in making that determination. But that is not part of the design function. And then the final point is, as I've said before, to the extent there's questions about the process that Civic uses to comply with CEQA, and specifically the use of program EIRs and our consistency analysis that's done, and then that becomes part of the record for the issuance of the permit. That's been upheld multiple times by the courts of appeal. So there's the case that I've talked about before, which is the Citizens for Responsible Equitable Environmental Development. It's known as the Creed case. That specifically upheld the process that Civic uses. And then most recently, there was a challenge brought to a couple previous projects in the Gonzalez case. And in that case, the court expressly held that this process that Civic uses is legally appropriate. So again, the facts and all the information that's provided has to be considered by the president in making it the president's determination on the permit itself. And so that's important, and appreciate all the information provided. But that is not fundamentally before you today. So with that, happy to answer any questions, but that's the framework for your decision making today.
Thank you. Anybody have a question on that? All right, so Mr. Alexander.
James Alexander, Associate Planner. This is design review for a project called Pinnacle Pacific Heights. It's in East Village on 11th, on the east side of 11th Avenue, the same block as a McDonald's, between A and B Streets. Has 486 dwelling units. It's a 31-story tower, about 8,000 square feet of ground floor commercial space, and 381 parking spaces. The FAR is 14.39, being achieved with the affordable housing bonus regulations by providing 10% of the base units as affordable to low-income individuals, which equates to 34 units. They receive an additional 3.5 FAR for this, and because they're not proposing any deviations to height or setbacks, they receive an additional 1.0 bonus. The 34 affordable units are proposed to be located at a yet-to-be-determined off-site location, as is allowed in the affordable housing regulations of the code. With the provision of affordable housing, they're also granted one incentive to deviate from the development regulations of the code, which they're using to increase the north-south tower floor plate from 200 feet to 230 feet. The project requires approval of a Center City development permit and, of course, design review approval by the board. A previous version of the project was reviewed back in July by the board. The previous version provided the affordable units on site in a separate building, but the board had concerns about that separation and voted 5-2 to send it back to DRC to redesign the project to better incorporate the affordable units with the market rate units. Ultimately, however, the developer decided to locate the affordable units off-site, which eliminated the smaller olive-colored podium building on the north end, and the tower was increased in size in the north-south dimension. You can see that here in the before and after of the project, taken from the 11th and A intersection, and then right here in this rendering, in these renderings of the east elevation from the Park and B corner. Because of the design changes, the project is going back through the design review process. At DRC, there were comments about the blank wall on the east elevation, the corner of the building at 11th and A, and the podium deck trellis element. But ultimately, DRC voted 3-1 to recommend design review approval with these issues addressed today. DCPC saw the project last week and voted 11-5 to recommend design review approval. Those who voted in opposition of the project were opposed to the location of the affordable units at an off-site location. And then, as Sean mentioned, we also received the additional public correspondence, which was distributed to you and also available to the public. And that concludes my presentation. Staff recommends approval, design review approval, and the architect's here for a brief presentation, and the developer is here as well.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Dennis Rogers. I'm with Aubrey Cook Rogers McGill Architects, and I will take you through a brief presentation of the design. James pointed out where the site is. It's basically on 11th between A and B with the McDonald's parking lot behind, next to City College. We're proposing 5 levels of parking below grade. On the ground floor, the residential lobby is located in this location here with the core to the tower here, and then retail all along 11th. The entrance to the garage for the parking is here with one ramp going down, one ramp going up. We also have a loading dock on both sides, one for the residential and one for the commercial side and the retail side. We do have a small mezzanine, which mainly deals with tenant storage. And then we're proposing 2 levels of parking above the ground floor. This is the 4th level podium where we have an outdoor amenities component. We were asked to give a little more detail on this. So it's kind of some more passive areas like fire pits along here and here. There's a barbecue here. And we were asked if we could do an extended dog walk area. So we're proposing quite an extensive dog walk location here. And this is the tower. The tower consists of about 18 units per floor. We've tried to provide the offsets in the elevations or in plan, along with the use of balconies. This is the rooftop plan, where we have an indoor amenities portion here, outdoor deck, a pool location, spa, and some more outdoor amenity space. This is the perspective from B and 11th. Here in the ground floor, we tried to provide a kind of an oversized 2-story lobby space on the corner. This location area here is actually the 2nd level of the garage, and we've carved away some of that garage to get a nice tall expression of the lobby. This would be the 3rd level where there's parking, and then the tower going up from there, accentuated with vertical fins and horizontal lines terminating up at the higher portions of the roof. And even here where the upper deck amenity space is. This is the view from A and 11th. And again, we brought this high element here with the 2-story glass extended across. And then I have a slide that will show how we address the concern of this corner here, where this upper portion that was screening the garage was really pushing down or a little heavy on top of the retail space. Also, there was a concern at one time about this trellis element not really being quite visible. It hasn't changed, but it's just a little more visible in this image. So here's the before and after, where they talked about this element here that was screening the garage being kind of heavy on this corner at 11th and A. And there was this lower canopy type portion here, and then it was kind of not resolved here. We're proposing to push this glass element up, the storefront up, with some translucent glass behind that could be lit, pushing it up higher here, which carved away at the screening element, and then we slid the screening element past this element here, so this one kind of flows past this one as it comes around the corner. This is the original blank wall that we were proposing, which is basically a high-end plaster finish with stainless steel reveals. They were asking if there was some other options that we could do. We looked at possibly changing the color. We looked at a green color here across this parking lot, kind of trying to relate to the park area that's at City College across the street. Also looked at more kind of a neutral color here, which kind of works with kind of the neutral color of the McDonald's that's there. I think it's subjective. We could, it was mentioned, could there be a mural? Sorry. Could there be a mural or trompe l'oeil? And we'd be interested or willing to look at other options for this particular wall if there's a desire to have, you know, art or trompe l'oeil. And then this is kind of the before and after shot where there was a concern. This image was, it was hard to see the trellis up above in this image, but this was the original screening of the garage above and how it kind of pushed down on top of the retail here. So we're proposing that we push this element up and then we pushed it up again, trying to break down some of this form up above that does screen the garage. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the directors? All right, so we'll move on to public comment. We have two in favor. We'll take those first. We have Craig Benedetto, followed by Gary Smith.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of Civic Board of Directors. Craig Benedetto here today representing Pinnacle International. We're happy to be before you today to ask for your support for design review approval. Obviously, we have taken input from the community, both through DCPC as well as through your own design review process, and made accommodations on the project. I know in our last approval, we had talked about at length about the affordable housing piece of it. Because of design, construction, cost, and other issues, the decision was made to relocate that downtown, as is allowed under the code, but to still build it, which is different than other developers do, which is to pay the in-lieu fee. So they are still going to build it. They are still going to build it downtown. Mr. Richter can speak to the timing of how that would work relative to when we pull applications and permits, but nevertheless, it will be built. You know, Pinnacle has done a lot for San Diego. I know it seems to get lost in some of these conversations. The Civic Board, yourself, you've asked for developers to build to max FAR. You've asked for more units. You've asked for height. You've asked for construction of affordable housing. Pinnacle is doing that. Other developers are going to minimum FAR. Pinnacle's not doing that. They're trying to give you these projects, and they're trying to do it with a lot of investment capital, and they're doing it perhaps in a way that makes some people upset, and I'm sure you'll hear some of that today. But I'll say this, that, you know, on the employment front, because I know that will come up, it's not as safe to say as that it's not a union contractor. There are union contractors that work on Pinnacle sites, the structural steel contractor, the rebar contractor, the electrical contractor, all union contractors. Not everybody is a union contractor, and I don't know that that's relevant when it comes to design review. But if it comes up, there is something to be said about that. In terms of Fault Line Park, because that tends to come up quite a bit in these conversations, the restroom was closed early on. There's no denying that, but it was reopened, and Pinnacle is paying $150,000 a year for security at that park to keep that park clean and safe for the community and that restroom open. That's above the contractual requirements that Civic has with Pinnacle for that park. So it comes at quite a cost to Pinnacle, but it's being done to make the community of East Village a better place and that park a better place. So with that, we're here to answer any questions that you might have. We look forward to your approval of this project on the design review. We look forward to providing more projects for San Diego. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Good afternoon, board members. Gary Smith, president of San Diego Downtown Residents Group. My board likes the design of this building as a big city building and in the proximity of Park Boulevard, which is one of the major accesses to downtown. The only issue, this garage, as a matter of fact, the screening looks like it will work, especially where it's located. The only issue with this building is on the east facade. That blank wall that runs alongside a McDonald's is large. When you look at the drawing, you say it's inconsequential. If you look at it, it's an entire block long, almost 300 feet, and it's almost 30 feet high. This is going to be a gigantic billboard for graffiti. If you put artwork on it, that artwork, you better have an artist on permanent staff, because that's going to get hit every weekend. Putting some of that slick stuff on there that helps get the graffiti off would be a good thing. The color changes and the just solid colors may work in its favor. I would favor turning it into what looks like a granite wall with paint, which you can do, and then make it easy to scrub off simply because it is more attractive than a blank painted wall. But that's the only issue that we would have with this building. Other than that, it's going to be a great asset, and we think that once McDonald's goes away and another building goes up in there and that doesn't become an issue, but we have no idea when that will be. So that wall's maintenance is going to be a big issue for the community. But I'm not sure what you all can do about making that better. But a mural or a picture is not the way to go when it's on ground floor and accessible by everybody 24/7. Thank you.
Thank you. We also have a speaker that is neutral, Diane Straw.
Hi, my name is Diane Peabody Straw. I'm with the East Village Association, and this particular project hasn't had a chance to come before our board yet, so I don't want to speak to it specifically, but I would like to say that Pinnacle has been a wonderful partner to the East Village in recent developments, and I hope that things continue to go well in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move to those in opposition to the project. We're going to start off with Armando Nunez, followed by Chris Allen. You can come forward.
Good afternoon, board members. My name is Armando Nunez. I'm a union representative. You guys see a few of the members that I represent, but I always also like to remind everybody the fact that we also represent those that don't have a voice, those workers that don't have a union and get no representation. So, sticking to the design, the north elevation ground level soffit facade architectural treatment has no continuity with the rest of the ground level structure. Also, this particular treatment made more sense with the color palette selected for the affordable housing podium building. So with the elimination of the on-site affordable structure, this particular section of the building needs to be redesigned to provide a more consistent element with the remainder of the building. So another thing to note, we've seen the letter that was sent out, the safety violations that happened on the Pinnacle projects. And one of those violations was caused by the reinforcement for the crane was cut by a worker. It was error by one of the untrained workers on that site. This is not a union or non-union issue, but it's a trained workforce issue. And we've all seen the New Orleans disaster that happened, and that was because of an untrained workforce that was working and performing construction work in that site, and we can't help it but to wonder, is that going to be the next disaster? Is that going to come to San Diego because somebody decided to cut corners? Luckily, we have a safety organization, which is OSHA, that caught that violation, but who knows what would have happened if nobody caught that crane mistake and we would have had a crane collapse here in San Diego. Thank you.
Chris Allen, followed by Javier Santisa.
Good afternoon, board. Let's go ahead and discuss this east elevation. East elevation at the ground level lacks creative design that coined our city America's finest city. The only illusion, per last meeting, the architecture's description of this wall creates an illusion of texture, right? Only illusion is Pinnacle submitting the bare minimum to proceed with this reference. The reference, if you look at both neighboring buildings, those developers, those owners, they had a choice. They had a specific choice to either choose rich architectural appeal with textures or substitute colors. If I wanted to substitute colors, I'd ask my 10-year-old to go on her app on her iPad, erase what they have, and put in another one. Instead, these neighboring buildings chose fine tiles, and they also chose imported stone facades. I'd like to also address the claim from the previous meeting that this wall will only be visible by the McDonald's parking lot. This is definitely far from the truth. There's a college over there, there's a high school, there's tourists that run past that street every day. Is this the type of downtown experience that we want tourists and the people of San Diego to have? This wall needs to conform with the requirements to provide a pedestrian experience, as well as not becoming a potential canvas for vandalism that was mentioned earlier. As a native San Diegan, design of our iconic downtown should not fall in the hands of a developer that's willing to compromise our town by putting lipstick on a pig just to get their way. I urge you not to approve this project because of its poor design qualities. Thank you.
Doug Higgs, first, Javier, followed by Doug Higgs.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. Thank you for having me. My name is Javier Santiso. I just want to clarify some things that were said earlier by the gentleman right here. We need to understand that this is not a union or non-union issue. This has to do with everything with responsible contracting, right? When a responsible contractor works correctly, he pays his workers the wages that the state mandates, the overtime. There's no piece rate scheme that should be going on. If I were to stick my hand in any of these people's wallet and take money from them, that'd be wage theft. I would have had handcuffs on my hands and taken to prison, right? Why is it fair for these contractors and developers to operate that way? Right. So I just want to clarify that also. So responsible contracting, what does that mean? It means that for each one of these gentlemen here and sisters that are carpenters, there's three workers that are not represented. These three work, each one of those workers, right, get taken advantage of. So it's my responsibility as a community member of San Diego to do what's right for my community, right? So this is why I come here time and time again. I know it gets redundant and might be boring, but it's someone has to do it. And all these people have taken time throughout their day to come here and let you know that it's not right. We need to do what's right for our community. We're going to keep coming here, wherever it has to be, to make sure that San Diego is protected and the people that build their bridges, their hospitals, their schools, their courthouses, and every single type of living to make this community beautiful feels the same way. Thank you guys for your time.
It's Doug Higgs followed by Rick Bates.
Good afternoon, board, members of the public. The last time that I saw you folks, the directive was given to Pinnacle, take this building back and figure out how to better incorporate the affordable component. That was the directive given to Pinnacle. Per Pinnacle style, with no regard for direction from the city or for the care of our community, they simply eliminated the affordable component. Now, they said it couldn't be incorporated, it had to be blocked off. Well, you're sitting in a room full of construction professionals. We put in rated corridor openings all the time. So the issue of having to block it off for fire and all the issues they've raised, it's simply inconsistent with what the codes allow. Now, I've seen places like the Omni, where they incorporate condos and hotel units. And if they can figure out how to put a hotel unit directly next to an owner of a condo in one of the higher partying districts of downtown San Diego, but Pinnacle couldn't figure out how to put in a door between two buildings. Like I said, the simple answer, rated corridor openings. But ladies and gentlemen, this building has made San Diego infamous. It made the front page of the UT and made press throughout the nation. This is not the headline we want for San Diego. We are a growing city, and we're proud of that. And we're proud to be, the carpenters here are proud to be an important component in that growing city. But to make headlines over segregation, this is a black-eyed our community. It's one that won't fade for a while. It left a stigma within our development community that's going to take a while to erase. But like I said, what was the directive Pinnacle was left with? Find a way to incorporate it. Find a way to integrate your two communities. They're good enough to share a fourth floor deck, but not a building. So ladies and gentlemen, I would ask you to stick to what you told them before. Figure out a way to incorporate it. I think that this is a very solvable problem, but at the same time, I look at the board today and I would ask, did they follow the intent of what they were asked? Per Pinnacle's usual style, they turned their nose up at the city, they turned their nose up at the citizens, and they walked away. Thank you.
Rick Bates.
Good afternoon. My name is Rick Bates with Unite Here, Local 30, representing more than 6,000 hotel and hospitality workers throughout San Diego County. Many of our members work right here in the downtown area, but most simply cannot afford to live here. As you know, the original design and layout of the project before you today has been the subject of great controversy. Presented to you in July, a fabulous market-rate residential high-rise project with amenities like a roof, deck, and pool, proposed to satisfy inclusionary housing requirements by restricting low-income units to a separate, smaller adjacent building without access to the high-rise amenities. When this project came before you earlier, you voted 5-2 to recommend that the project be redesigned to better incorporate the affordable units with the market rate units. And today, we see the developer's response to that. The project's proponent clearly did not accept your recommendation. Not only did they not attempt to integrate the affordable units, but they literally deleted the 8-story podium building, along with all 58 affordable units, and instead went the other way by opting to squeeze in an additional 99 market rate units by way of a new proposal to expand the tower floor plate beyond what the PDO allows. This isn't even the same project anymore. As a board of directors, you offered direction to better incorporate the affordable units with the market rate units, which is consistent with the DCP goals to provide an overall balance of uses, to offer a full compendium of amenities and services accessible to all so as to accommodate our city's diverse population. Clearly, however, it would seem that the only way that the developer would agree to on-site affordable housing is if it's in a manner that resembles a throwback to a time when diversity was not acceptable, when people were identified and separated by their race and class. Our members are hotel and hospitality workers, comprised largely of women and people of color. They can't afford this type of housing. They're expected to work and serve down here, but living here is always another story. We'll get around to building housing for them when we get around to it. Clearly, the project before you today is a substantially different project than what came before you in July. Your recommended changes were ignored, and the project before you is a snub to America's finest city and our diversity. Please vote no on this new project.
Thank you. Directors. Director Russell.
Good afternoon, everybody, and I'm going to ask you to indulge me for a moment because this is an issue really near and dear to my heart. We've heard a lot of the discussion over the number of months about the various issues that this building raises, and I want to start with a quote because, you know, I went to architecture school. My thesis was on urban design, sustainability, inclusiveness, and so this really touches close to a lot of my studies. And Winston Churchill, I'll start with, says, "We shape our buildings, thereafter they shape us." So form matters. Form matters a great deal in what we do with buildings. Design matters. And we heard a lot of testimony about design today. But let me start by saying that the inclusion of affordable housing on site was a significant component of the first design. I could point to many studies that talk about how tenure impacts form, that is temporarily inhabited apartments versus owned spaces, have very different impacts over time and how they evolve, how they can be used, and how likely they are to turn over their use. Similarly, just the way that tenure impacts form, form impacts tenure. You can't do certain things with certain kinds of buildings. Some are more subdivisible than others. And condos in particular are more resistant to change because of the continuation of ownership of it being fragmented and more likely to persist in the built environment. So as it's evidenced here by the changes made by the applicant from one project to the next, how they've not completely integrated the buildings, you know, how they made changes based on the tenure that they were anticipating for this building. So again, I'm just making the case that design really does matter. There's elements of sustainability, equity, and diversity. I could go into great detail. I won't because I think we want to hear from the other directors here. But fundamentally, use is a significant determinant of the design, right? And the design allows certain kinds of uses. And an affordable housing apartments building represents a very distinct use on a site like that, as evidenced by the fact, you know, that inclusionary is fundamentally a zoning regulation. People think of it as an exaction or a fee. It's a zoning regulation. It says that in when you build, you are required to provide these other uses as well. And including it or not is a significant design choice. So it's reflected in the downtown community plan goals. And if you compare the May and September submittals and the staff reports, there's actually two very distinct differences on those two reports, and that is the loss of two applicable downtown community plan goals from the May submittal to the later submittal. One is 3.3G-1, which is the range providing for a range of housing. The other is 3.4G-3, which is talking about the increased supply of affordable housing in the downtown area. Those findings were dropped from the report, the earlier report, to the later report. So all of this tells me that the project that was submitted in September 23rd, 2019 is significantly different from that which was submitted on May 28th, 2019. While there's legitimate concerns raised here about workplace safety, wage theft, labor practices, even design concerns, the removal of the low-rise rental building from the permit application really causes me to ask a more fundamental question, which is, given the deep, significant, and lasting change that these proposals have, is this even the same project? Should we be reviewing this at all? Or should we be respond by saying that the project before us was submitted beyond the date when we have the obligation and authority to review it? So I actually think that this is a case where the building is significantly different. I think it's a different project. I would suggest that we deny the design approval because I don't think we have the right or obligation in this case to do it. And I think we should direct the president to not sign the permit and to send this to the city for if the applicant chooses to submit. I would move, that is my motion.
Director Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I've been in opposition to the project all along. I haven't waffled on this. I stand my ground. I don't say one thing at one meeting and come to another meeting and say something else. I saw it wasn't right a long time ago, and that's being demonstrated here today in the scales of balance shift for me in a lot of ways here. It shifts in the design. It's obvious that you can take four stories off of a building and have a blank space. To me, that's a new project. It also demonstrates to me discrimination of a people that need to work and need to be in a place where they can get back and forth to work without an expensive overhead. That's the problem we got here in San Diego. I just don't think the applicant has been fair about this. They took their marbles and went home when we asked about a door. They say, I won't shoot marbles with you with that, but what I will do is I'll take that off of the design. And I thought that was a real low gut shot, a real low blow to the community of San Diego. So the scales tip in a lot of ways for me. And I'm looking at two scales. I'm looking at the moral and ethic and the integrity of this, and I'm also looking at the design. And when I look at the both of them, the scales tip to what I've been saying all along. It's no way that I can support the project in any shape, fashion, form, because I think it's wrong, and I don't think that the applicant is a safe developer. And when the applicant is designing this project, they're looking at saying, well, you know, it would cost this, it would cost that. But when you look at what they're doing now, it's low-grade material, so who are you kidding? Who are you talking to? So based on that, and based on, because I've done some research, and I questioned this about, and I questioned yesterday about it as well, about this being a new project. It's hard, and it might be the rule, but it's hard for me to imagine that you could take off 34 units of low-income housing and say it's the same project. Because that was the thrust of this project when we first saw it. And I was happy about that because it was going to help some people who don't have a whole lot. So when it's being presented the way it's being presented now, it's very problematic to me. And so based on that, I won't be supporting this project.
Thank you, Director Robinson. Any other director? Director Jenkins?
So a question for Mr. Alexander or Mr. Richter. I'm wondering if you could give us, I know you've done this before, but the project has changed. So could you describe to us the, give us some detail on the timing, the enforceability, the number of units and so forth of the offsite affordability compliance, and whether that includes fulfilling affordability requirements on other projects.
Sure. Brad Richter, Urban Division, City of San Diego. The application was submitted to Civic San Diego in May and was deemed complete and therefore was under the old Center City Plan District Ordinance provisions for design review and approval by Civic San Diego. The project has been modified through the review process, some of it as a direct result of comments made at public meetings such as this. The changes that have been made are certainly within the realm and parameters of what a project can go through during this type of review process. We consider it the same project, a modified project, and therefore would not require a new application for this. That's consistent with past practices on other projects we've reviewed for the past 20 years. The removal of the on-site is certainly a project characteristic that has changed, but certainly within all parameters and development standards established by the City Council for affordable housing. They have the choice of either providing affordable housing on-site, off-site by right, or paying an inclusionary fee. Developers change and take different approaches throughout. Pinnacle has chosen in the past to build the affordable units, has built 74 units at Pinnacle at the Park, is under construction with another 49 units in the 11th and Broadway project, just a couple blocks from here. But they have every right to pay the inclusionary fee if they so choose to. That does not materially change the application of the project, and certainly not the design review of the project, although the design has changed, obviously, with the loss of the podium building. So staff would consider this a continuation of their application submitted in May. That doesn't mean the board has any restrictions on whether or not to grant design review approval or not.
So how many units would they be proposing for this project?
The project, in order to obtain the FAR bonus they've obtained, is required to construct 34 units at the offsite location. As you recall, there's been two other projects where they obtained approval with offsite affordable units. They may choose to provide all those affordable units in one location, or they can disperse them through other projects. It's their choice, as long as they meet the parameters of the city ordinance, which provides by right within the same community plan area and council district, or within a mile of each of those projects.
And what's the enforceability of compliance with that obligation?
Before they pull a building permit for any of the projects, construction, any type of construction permit, they have to enter into an agreement with the San Diego Housing Commission. And that agreement provides for the provision of those affordable units. It identifies the site where they will be provided, and they must be provided within 54 months within the start of construction of any market rate units. If they fail to produce that, the Housing Commission has reversionary rights to the off-site location. Actually, not reversionary. Yeah.
So you're looking at a 4.5-year delay, and that's after the permit is issued.
Right. For example, on a project such as this, probably a 30-month construction period. So from the date of start of construction, within 54 months, the affordable units also have to be occupiable. So that's usually about a 2-year delay between the market rate units and the affordable units, as provided in the code.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Director Robinson?
I just need some clarification, Brad. Maybe I'm wrong here. You made a statement that some other developers opted to use the in lieu of fee to go somewhere. Are you saying that these projects, and I don't remember if these projects was connected to the project when they opted to move. This project, it was connected to it. That's the difference.
This project has opted to actually build the affordable units, and therefore they're entitled to the FAR bonus. If they paid the inclusionary fee, it would have to be a smaller project because they would not be entitled to that FAR bonus.
But you said that the other developers moved theirs, opted to move somewhere else, but those projects didn't have the affordable housing as a part of when they presented the application and the project for us to review.
No, those two projects I was citing both propose off-site locations from the initial submittal.
So that makes a difference here. That makes a difference here, right?
I would say it is a different circumstance, but I don't know if that causes any actions.
I'm not talking about action. I'm just talking about the way it was explained. And
yes.
So this project was so based on, in a lot of ways, about this being an affordable building with four stories, but those others opted to use that money to move somewhere else. That's the difference here.
Well, the other two projects were actually going to locate their affordable unit obligations in this project originally. So there was a total of 58 units were originally going to be on this site. Those 58 units, as proposed now, to meet the obligations of all three projects, would be at a fourth site.
Yeah, but they changed. This one is changing the design. Those others didn't.
Yes, both the location of the affordable units and the design of the project have changed since the original submittal. Yes.
Director Shaw.
Thank you. I actually like the building despite comments I've heard otherwise. Brad, am I correct in stating that they are following the rules?
Yes, they are in compliance with all of the regulations, development regulations established by the city.
And I just heard you say they can't get a building permit without an agreement with the Housing Commission.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Well, we have a motion on the floor and a second. Can you restate your motion again so that we're clear on?
The motion would be to deny the design review approval and direct the president to not sign the permit.
Just, you don't need that last part, because if you don't grant design review, the president can't act. It's just a fundamental process. I mean,
so for the reasons stated on the record, I would recommend the motion is to design review approval.
All right, well, let's vote on that motion.
So the motion passes with Director Shaw voting no.
Thank you. This time we're going to take a recess. Come back in 5 minutes, please. Okay, you guys, we're going to get going on item 9. You've received a little questionnaire here, and we're we're commencing the process for selection of officers, and so you have before you a questionnaire that I believe is due by November 6th. Unless you want to fill it out today and leave it today, otherwise make sure it gets back by the 6th, and it and showing us your willingness or interest in any of the positions for officers and also for committees. Any questions on that? All right. Yes.
I just want to let everybody know that I will be submitting a resignation effective by the end of the year. I've been in communication with Andy about it. He knows this. So I'm saying this so that you know that I'm not under consideration for any committee memberships or any officer positions with the board.
I'm sorry?
Thank you, Michael.
Well, we still have at least a month to say goodbye. All right. So with that, this part is adjourned, and we're calling. Okay.